G'day. How you going? All right, mates? Beauty. I'd like to personally thank... I'll do a little bit of preamble. I don't think I've got permission from the boss down there. Where are you, Karen? And Elaine? Doesn't matter. I may not have permission, but I'm going to do it anyway. Thank you to the whole of the USA. I sound a bit like Rick Springsteen. I'm not born in the USA, but boy, do I love the USA. You've made me so welcome. And I pay particular tribute to Karen Hensley, Kit Rogers, the whole of the staff in Jonesboro, the whole of the presenters today and yesterday. Didn't they work our butts off? Joe Radner, I thought, was going to kill us. But we've come out richer for the experience. Thank you to all the presenters. Thank you to everyone here. And I mean sincerely, the USA, because this is my second visit here. Before, I didn't have a chance to perform. And thanks to everyone that's helped me and encouraged me, I'm able to do just that. And I hope you enjoy it. But first of all, I must tell you, my hosts, Mornie and Elaine Murray. When I was here last time, Mornie said, how about coming a track up the goat track up there, the top of the mountain? Well, that mountain looked to me like Mount Everest, because over in Western Australia, we don't have mountains like that. We're battling to make a hill. So, yeah, big, brave, bronzed Aussie goes, oh, man, that's a piece of cake. So, anyway, we start up this goat track. When we're at the top, Mornie said, in his own little humorous way, he said, you know, you're lucky in Australia because you don't have predatory animals. And he taught me something, because we don't, unless you go into their territory, got no predatory animals. Oh, well, that's good, yeah. Well, you're the same. Ah, but he said, no, we're not the same. Up there could be a cougar. And you'd better start howling, man, because if that cougar gets you, he just don't like Aussies. So, oh, jeez. So away we set down the track at a pretty frenetic pace, I might tell you. Halfway down, the cougar was nothing. Halfway down, guess what? I'm standing and walking, actually running, to be honest, down the track on the left-hand side. I forgot my road rules in the USA. This bicycle came down. He was a bigger threat than the cougar. He came down there, whoosh, get out of the way. I said, yes, all right, I'm still looking for the cougar. Anyway, we made it, and then we never saw the cougar. But that was pretty scary. So, thank you, Mornie. I owe you a favour because you kept me alive that day. The Man from Snowy River was written by Andrew Barton Patterson in 1896, which is a fairly young year for America. I mean, we're only a young country, but this for us was a fairly ancient type of story. It was a poem, actually, and I'm going to do the poem tonight because not many people probably have heard the poem, and that's what it was in its original form. Kirk Douglas. You all know Kirk Douglas, but some of you, or most of you, let's have a look. No, all of you wouldn't remember The Man from Snowy River, the movie, starring Kirk Douglas as Clancy. Ah, look, they're all young, they're agreeing. Hey, good on you. All right then, so here's the story. And again, thank you for coming, but especially, very especially, and I mean that sincerely, for making me welcome. It makes me feel very humble. And I hope you enjoy The Man from Snowy River. Thank you. There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away. He had joined the Wild Bush Horses. He was worth 900 grand. So all the cracks had gathered to the fray. All the tried and noted riders from the stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight, for the bush boys love hard riding where the wild bush mustangs are. I'll put that in. The wild bush horses are, and the stock horse snuffs the battle with delight. There was Harrison, who made his pile when Pardon won the cup. The old man with hair as white as snow, but few could ride beside him. When his blood was fairly up, he could go where horse and man could go. Ann Clancy, shades of Kirk Douglas, came down to lend a hand. No better horseman ever held the reins, and never a horse could throw him while saddle girths would stand. He learned to ride while roving on the plains. And then there was a stripling on a small and weedy beast, something of racehorse undersized, a touch of Timor pony, three parts thoroughbred at least, and as such by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread, and he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eye and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. But still, so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay. That horse will never do for a long and tiring gallop, lad. You'd better stay away. Those hills are far too rough for you. So he waited, sad and wistful. Only Clancy took his friend. I think we ought to let him come, he said. I'll warrant he'll be with us when he's wanted at the end. Of course, both he and his horse are mountain bred. He hails from Snowy River, up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where the horse's hooves strike firelight on the flintstones every stride, and the man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountain strike their home where the giant river runs those hills between. And here he was, this little short and weedy beast. And the Snowy River riders on the mountain strike their home, as I said before. And there he was, all ready to go. And so he went. They found the horses by the old mimosa clump, but they raced away towards the mountain's brow, and the old man gave his orders, "Boys, go at them from the jump. No use for Clancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel them. Try and wheel them to the right. Ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills, because never yet was horseman who could keep the horses clear in sight when once they'd gained the shelter of those hills." And Clancy rode to wheel them. He was riding on the wing, where the best and boldest riders take their place, and he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the rangers ring with his stock whip, and he met them face to face. They halted for a moment while he swung that gathering lash, but they saw their well-loved mountain full in view, and they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash. And into the mountain scrub they flew, and fast the horsemen followed, where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of their tread. And the old man and they cracked the stock whips, and they fiercely answered back from the cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. And upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way, where the mountain ash and courage on grow wide. And the old man said fiercely, "We may bid the mob good day. No man can hold them down the other side." And when they reached the mountain summit, even Clancy took a pull. It well might make the boldest hold their breath. The wild hop scrub grew thickly, and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes. Any slip was death. Any slip was death. But the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head, and he swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer, and he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed, while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet. He cleared the fallen timber in his stride, and the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride through the stringy barks and saplings, over rough and broken ground, down the hillside at a racing pace he went, and he never drew the bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of the terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the further hill, and the watchers on the hillside, standing mute, saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right amongst them still as he raced across the clearing in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment when two mountain gullies met in the ranges. But a final glimpse reveals in the dim and distant hillside, the wild horses racing yet, guess what, the man from a snowy river at their heels. And he raced them single-handed till their sides were white with foam. He followed like a bloodhound on their track, till they halted, cowed and beaten, and he turned their heads for home, and alone and unassisted brought them back. Down by Kosciuszko, where the pine-clad ridges raise their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal, and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky, where down around the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway and the rolling plains are wide, the man from Snowy River is a household word today, and cowboys tell the story of his ride. Thank you.